Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raw Talks podcast with me, Sarah, together with Simba and Mark from Living with the Spirit. And we are here to offer you raw and real conversations about physical, emotional, and spiritual transformation. We are specialized in regulating the nervous system, somatic work, energetics, shadow work, and deep and unique body work. Our purpose here today is to share our journey and our teachings with conscious leaders just like you and to unlock anything that is holding you back from living a life of freedom and purpose. We are truly grateful and honored to have you with us, and let's explore. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Raw Talks podcast. I'm here with my team, friends, partners, Simba and Mark. We are not live from the farm, but today we are talking about freeze and coming out of freeze, and that is one of the main journeys that needs to be done on the healing journey. And we want to talk a little bit about how come, because what we're noticing is that most people are in freeze, and we're going to talk a little bit about that from a polyvagal perspective, but we're also going to talk about how we end up there in the first place, and also how to navigate out of it, but also that it's just not something that you do over a weekend. It's a process. So we're going to talk a little bit about that process and how it feels, and the different layers of it and the different turn of events that you can experience and things like that. So let's begin from the beginning. So what is going on really with how come everyone is in freeze? And when we say everyone, do we actually mean everyone? This is my first question to both of y'all. Would you say that most people on the planet are in some sort of freeze or dissociation?
I think the way that society is built, there isn't many options, a Western society. So I think a majority of people actually are there, because the way our nervous system is designed to be naturally is to experience a short period of stress. It can be very intense. It can be life-threatening. But then we're supposed to fight or flight from that event, shake, get rid of the adrenaline, get rid of the stress, not repeat the same experience, right? Like not have the same experience. We learn from the experience, evolve and move on. But what happens in today's society is that we have this never-ending stress that's always ticking, pinging, reminding us work, finances, health, social media, my appearances, how I look, what I think about myself, what other people think. So it's both individually and collectively that we're getting overloaded with stressors, and we don't have enough time to decompress and to release these stressors, these demands that are put on us from the outside, either perceived or real. And it really forces us into a position of, okay, I can't flee away from this, because I can't just not show up for work and not show up for my family. And just, I mean, I have to make a living at some point, right? I can't start fighting everyone all the time, because I won't fit in anywhere, right? I will be pushed out or not accepted. So I cannot fight. I cannot flee. I can do people pleasing, or I can disconnect, right? So those are kind of the options that I look at many times in a modern society, the way it is right now. So from that, from that little spiel, I would say, yes, I think most people probably is in some state of fawning, people pleasing, or freeze dissociation.
What do you say, Mark?
Yeah, I agree with Simba that it kind of just happens unknowingly, though. So it's not like people are choosing this. It's the societal standard that causes this to happen. And for me, I think that it actually starts in school because the opposite of freeze is movement, being lively. And so children, you look at children, they're always moving, they're lively, they're climbing, they're jumping, they're playing. But as soon as they get to school, first thing that they have to do is sit down at the desk, sit. And then you sit for 12 years. And what happens is the school system, either knowingly or unknowingly, you know, puts the body in the freeze and turns on the mind. So it's like, it's basically saying, get out of your body and get into your mind. We need to think, we need to memorize, we need to extrapolate, we need to do calculations in the mind, and the body needs to be completely still. So, I mean, every day for 6 hours, children are sitting instead of moving. And then over a period of time, you know, 12 years later, when they're you know, adults, their body is in a freeze. Yeah. And then you become adults and you you wake up in the morning and you sit down for breakfast, and then you get in a car or a bus and you sit down and you drive to work, and then you go and you work in your office and you sit down all day. So we just live in this frozen state our whole life, and just only operating from the mind. Yeah. So it's a societal thing that's just kind of happened, and then it gets normalized. So everyone thinks it's just normal.
Yeah. And after a big day at work, you're emotionally and the emotions and the nervous system is so overwhelmed. So that's why the couch is so inviting when you come home, because the whole system just needs to calm down. And some people just stay on the couch. And but I remember that I was always in go. I was always in overdrive when I was working in the corporate. And so instead, I had so much pressure on myself that, no, I can't rest now. I have to go exercise. So I was kind of flooding the nervous system instead of this, I got to do more. So I was like overly activated, which is also, so on one note, it might look like I was very active. I walked to work. I worked in an office, so I was sitting down a lot. But when I was working in these bigger offices, I walked around a lot also, and then I just rushed home and went to the gym. So it's like this nervous system. It's going to the extremes. It's just not harmonized and balanced. It's this overly extreme all the time. What do you say about that, Simba?
Yeah, I think many times it is like you said, like you both said, that, you know, we start in school and we're kind of fostered into a mentality of dissociation is good, because then you can focus on getting something done that's meaningful. And you know, there might be a truth to that, but not to that point that you start to forsake your body, because that's creating real health issues. And just like you said too, Sarah, that I believe there is so many stressors in today's society, and we don't have enough opportunities, or we don't know that you can take an opportunity and decompress. And it might just be 1 minute or 2 minutes. But if you don't do that, if you wake up and you're in, like you said, overdrive, you just go, 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 go. The first time you might start to decompress is actually when you're going to go to bed. And then people say, oh, I have insomnia, I have to take something so I can go to sleep. It's like, well, you can, but it might just be a natural process. Or I would actually advocate, say it is a natural process. Your brain is trying to make sense of all the impressions you had today. Your body is trying to let go of stressors and come down. And if that's the first time or the only time throughout your day that you do that, it might take a little bit of time, and that will eat on your sleep, which will produce more stress. And you can see, you know, that kind of becomes a vicious cycle. So like you said, Sarah, I believe that the TV and the sofa, it's a way of trying to do that. It's like trying to decompress, but you're not actually connecting. You're disconnecting because you're going outside of yourself. So it might relax you, but I'm not sure if it really relax you from a connected stage, which means it might actually just put you further into this connection, which takes longer to decompress when you're about to go to sleep.
Okay, so I want to ask about, so the mind can be dissociated, or you can be dissociated or disconnected from the body, right? So when the nervous system goes into an overwhelm or an overdrive, so it kind of kicks up from the red zone into the blue zone. So when I get to experience the different levels and the subtleness, I can really feel like, wow, now I can feel when I'm in the blue zone, when I'm dissociated. I get a little bit of spacey, I get a little bit of shut off, and I start to process the situation. I'm very caught up with the situation, then I feel like, oh wow, I'm disconnected from the body. And that's a nervous system response. And it's like being in the head and being in the mind and kind of going somewhere else. But then we also have the physical freeze, that a part of our body can be in freeze. And that's two different things, because I can be grounded in my nervous system, but I can still have parts of my body that are in freeze because they are holding on, kind of protecting something that I've been through, or an event, or emotions that are kind of locked in different areas of the body. And that is the freeze, the physical freeze that I would like to talk about today. So what would you say is the difference between those things, Simba, that I just mentioned?
Why don't I just bring up the curve so we can have a clearer sense of what it is we're talking about. So if you ever seen us before, you probably heard about this. In the beginning, there was a curve. And this curve is the polyvagal theory, or the polyvagal curve. And essentially, the way I look at it, it has to do with the autonomic nervous system, right? If your body is feeling safe or a threat, a fear, it's going to respond in different ways. So the autonomic nervous system takes care of all the automated functions in the body, digestion, all of these things that it's nice not to have to think about. You know, oh, I forgot to tell my heart to beat, I died. No. We keep on going naturally. It keeps us alive, but it also mobilizes energy to what we need to survive or thrive. And when we're in a safe state, we're in the bottom area here, the green zone, or we can be. We might not always be, right? We might still be in overdrive. But when your body is regulated, when it's connected, when we have released stress, after massage, after a vacation, after a spa, after like you really gone deep into your body, or one of our retreats usually, you usually wind up in what we call the green zone, where you feel compassionate, you feel joyful, you feel present in the moment, mindful, grounded, rooted in the present moment. I'm not thinking about the bills that's going to be paid. I'm not thinking about something that happened in the past. I'm right here, right now, and feel safe. And I feel connected to myself. And that's basically where we're designed to spend most of the days, or like most of the time. Because here, all your digestive system is going, your metabolism is working, all of these good, healthy system that creates abundance, that strengthens you, that makes you thrive and feel good, they happen here. The healing happen here, the pain resolve, the trauma release, you know, they kind of happen when you can enter to this place, or as you resolve stress and trauma, you will wind up here. So if something is threatening you, either physically or mentally, your body's going to mobilize energy to either fight it off, right? To go against the threat or flee away from it. And it can be a physical threat, like a car coming against you, or it can be, I don't know if I'm going to keep my job. You know, there is a lot of layoffs in this industry. There is financial uncertainty times or anything like that, you know. So we go and think about something for a long period of time where we're actually supposed to just have like a car comes towards me, I move away, whew, I survived. I let go of that stress and I go back in the green zone. But what happens is we stay and we ruminate. Maybe I lose my job. Maybe I lose my job. So you just keep on having these stress cycles, releasing adrenaline into your body, which starts to break the body down after a time. What we are talking about is if your body cannot flee away or fight these threats, it will go up to something called the blue zone or dorsal vagal. And essentially, we all experienced it at some point or not. You know, you sit in front of a computer, in front of a television, and then after a while you get up and you're like, oh, I'm sore, I'm thirsty, I need to go to the bathroom, I'm hungry. Why didn't I notice that a second ago? Well, that is because the mind was focused on something and it wasn't listening to the body. So the difference between the red and the blue zone is here your mind is getting all of the signals from the body. We have to do something. We have to do something. We have to do something. Whereas when you come to the blue zone, the mind says, okay, we have emptied out all our resources. We cannot run away. We cannot fight this. So instead of adrenaline, we start to release opioids. So it starts to numb itself. It starts to drug itself. And at low levels, you might still run a business. You might still function in society because the way it's built up, right? But once you start to come up to higher levels, that's when we start to daydream. That's when we start to really disconnect and become residents of La La Land, as I say. You kind of start to zone out. So that's really what we're looking at, these three different zones. What you mentioned with partial body parts being in freeze, it has to do with sometimes this doesn't happen for the whole body. Sometimes something happened in your body, maybe attacked, maybe abused, maybe an injury, and your body couldn't fight. It couldn't run away from it. So it has gone into freeze. But it doesn't naturally come out of freeze always, depending on the severity of the event that happened to you. So you can walk around with a freeze or frozen-like state in different areas. And I know this as a body worker, just working forever with someone. And then I became a personal trainer and then we have to strengthen this and we have to work this muscle. But if that body part is in freeze, it's literally frozen. It's not awake. You know, it's not about laziness. It's not firing. It's in such a deep protective mode that if you try to add more stress into it by pushing and massaging it, you might actually drive it deeper into freeze, right? So it really needs a balance of being safe enough to come out and come back to life, like defrost that body part.
Yeah, it's a nervous system response. And I just want to say that this can happen. It doesn't have to be something very violent or very abusive. I have to say that I know from experience that that doesn't have to be the case. It can just be a high level of stress in the nervous system for a long period of time and multiple different events that can happen or long when you're in certain situations for long periods of time. And I mean, I've done a lot of drugs and alcohol, and that definitely helps the freeze. I'm very, very sure of that. So it's more of a lifestyle, and it's almost like what kind of frequency you live in, you know, when you grow up. Because Mark, you have a lot of history of violence and things like that, and that, so that creates a certain freeze. But we talked a little bit about I've been living with a parent that has been very highly dissociated, and when a child is around a parent or a grown-up that are dissociated, then since the nervous systems talk to each other, then the child also starts to dissociate. So it's like there's so many levels of and just going to school and all this emotional. There's so many people who don't know how to navigate the social environment or the social the emotional environment. So we don't know when we grow up. We have no tools and resources to navigate ourselves out of that state, so we kind of get stuck in this unsafety, and then we live from the mind.
Yeah, I would say that it's coming out of the freeze happens in layers.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking from my own experience in through this process of, you know, of doing TRE and other things to help me come out of freeze. And I mean, you guys remember when you first met me, I was kind of like a stout robot, you know, just like there wasn't much movement in my shoulders or hips. And, you know, now I can sit in lotus position and I can come into a full squat, and there's I can like lift and raise my shoulders and bring my shoulder blades back. And it's like things I didn't even think were possible with my body. I thought my body was just that way, you know, it's like molded. And with a little bit of curiosity, it continues to unfold. So even now, you know, I'm working with my left foot, which kind of have my toes that are kind of sometimes like this. And so it's just a continual process of looking at the different parts of my body that might still be in freeze, and with compassion and curiosity, experimenting with, you know, different things that we can do to release that tension. And it's not because I'm disassociated in my mind. It's like that isolated aspect of the freeze is still hanging around in my body in certain parts.
Yeah. That's very interesting. And so I noticed that allowing the body to come out of freeze fully is one of the long-term projects that I need to do for myself. And as I'm on that journey and layer by layer starts to release, then also whatever reason for the freeze can kind of start to come to the surface. And since that's in layers, a lot of what I experience when I work with a lot of clients is that they feel, wow, I thought I worked through this, but then it's just more of the same emotion. And usually there are certain things in our lives. There's like the certain family dynamics, certain dynamics growing up, certain dynamics during work. So it's like we take on certain dynamics due to where we come from and social imprints and cultural imprints and family imprints and such things. So that's why it feels like it's more of the same, because there are some certain things that has the most impact on our lives. And that's why that comes back over and over again. And a lot of people that I meet, they say, especially if they've been in a lot of talk therapy, they feel like, but I'm over this. I've come to terms with this. I work through this. And it's not that talk therapy is bad, because people who've done a lot of talk therapy, they are much more, they have come to a certain level of acceptance of what happened. They've kind of gone through that and processed that on a cognitive level. But then when we come to the nervous system work and the somatic work, then the body starts to release it from the tissues and from the nervous system. And then they say, but I've spent so many years dealing with this, but now it's the body's turn to process and to release. And many times people think that that's the same thing when it's not. And on top of that, it comes in layers. So it might feel like we are working with the same thing for a long period of time. And people can also mistake it from feeling that they've gone backwards in their process, which is not true. There's no such thing in going backwards in progression. It just doesn't exist. The only way that we can kind of fall off the wagon is we start doing the habits that we were trying to leave behind, you know, but there's no such thing as going backwards.
Yeah, that sensation that you mentioned, Sarah, about feeling like you're going backwards, I know what you're talking about there, because I've felt that way sometimes myself. And so what the way Simba explained and the way Dr. Baselli explains that is that, you know, if the blue zone is up here, and our goal is to get down to grounded, we have to kind of pass through the red zone on the way down. And so if we're in freeze up here and we start to come down, we're immediately going to run into the fight or flight responses that are stored in our nervous system. So that can feel like taking a step back or stepping back into like a stronger emotion. So for me, I kind of spent a lot of time bouncing back and forth between those two, because it was a little bit scary to feel that fight or flight in my nervous system as I was coming down.
Yep.
Yeah, there's quite a few layers to it. I mean, you mentioned something very valuable there as well, Sarah. The doesn't have to be this big trauma. Like if you look at the history of trauma and the research of trauma, they said, oh, it only happens to soldiers, because they started noticing around First World War, when there was this immense amount of people coming back and they were all spaced out. And then they started to get aggressive with their family and their pets, and they just radically personality shift. So they called it shell shock, and then went on to trauma and PTSD and then PTS and so on and so on. But Dr. Robert Scar, a trauma researcher, he has a saying that goes, you can have the big T trauma, which everyone thinks about, like war, rape, abuse, something overwhelming that happens in one instance. But you can also have the small T trauma, which are the repetitive cycles of traumatic events that happens. And it might not look like a big thing because you get so used to them, but really look into it. Take sarcasm, for instance, or like when you're a little bit mean to someone. Sure, we can be playful and a little bit of banter, but there is certain behaviors that you actually feel in your body, like, ooh, that doesn't feel good. But we get so used to that. So we do it over and over again. And the body's like, wow, I can't handle this. So gradually we'll start to go into freeze, right? To be able to manage this. And the main thing I look at is when people actually come out of freeze, you're gonna feel things. Mm-hmm. I thought I dealt with this. You dealt with it emotionally, like cognitive behavioral therapy. I mean, the ultimate goal is tell your story without getting emotionally affected by it. Like I'm fine with it. You can feel emotions, but it doesn't get overwhelmed. But how do I do that? How do I know if I do that from a disconnected state, or if I'm actually regulated enough so I can tell the story without getting stressed? Well, the only way to know is to go through the body. And that's actually where the trauma is stored, in the brainstem. It's not stored in your thinking mind or any of those processes. It's stored in the more primitive parts of your body. So if I'm only accepting it mentally and I haven't worked with it in my body, then there is always going to be that disconnect. And I believe a big part of the healing really comes down to realizing, oh, I thought I dealt with this. When will this be over? No, you disconnected from it for years. This is life. You will feel shit. You will feel good. You will have these cycles. And that's what I notice a lot of times with clients. They're like, when am I done? It's like, what do you mean? When you're enlightened? It's like, you're always going to feel things, but they're going to be less and less overwhelming. You're going to have different experiences that allows you to navigate this without getting overwhelmed, that you feel calmer, but you're going to feel things. I mean, that means you're alive. You're feeling things. You're reacting. You're navigating. I would actually go and say even a step further. The more healing you do, the more you will feel. Right? Because we're coming back to life. We're connecting to an organism that's supposed to feel interactions. And what you were saying, Sarah, the mirror neurons, nerve cells to nerve cells, nerve body to nerve body, connecting. If I come into a room and someone is super anxious or angry, my whole body's going to get a little bit protective, right? But come into a room, someone is very warm, open-hearted, pleasant voice, my nervous system is going to start to feel calm as well, right? Because we're kind of meant to be wired and resonate with each other. So I think a big part of coming out of the freeze, like you were saying, Mark, is you're coming back to life, literally. When you come back to life, you will start to feel things. Maybe the reason you went into freeze was because you didn't like those feelings, or no one guided you to feel those feelings, or it wasn't safe to feel it. So now I have an association that feeling something means something's wrong. So I think a big part of it is to change that whole narrative. When you're alive, you will feel things. That's just the way it is.
Life is a feeling. I mean, we're supposed to feel all the sensations in the body, but if we grow up, and I'm just generalizing here because it's usually from growing up. It starts at a young age because the society at large is highly unequipped with nervous system information and how to deal and process negative sensations and experiences. We don't know how to do that. Our parents don't know how to do that. We're not being taught that in school. You know, someone bullied us in between sessions, and I go back and I'm scared and I sit there and I don't know. And then I just there's no way I'm processing it. And then 1 hour later, that kind of just settled and I go on with my day because no one noticed. There's no one to talk to. You know, the story goes on. And then that situation is stored in my body. And then I come home and maybe my parents ask, how was school? And I don't know how to talk. I don't know how to express. I don't know. And then it just continues. That's just one type of example. But many of that's like the small T traumas. And when we're children, we don't know. We don't have the capacity. We don't have the cognitive ability and whatnot. But then we have multiple of these experiences. So it's almost like we have these experiences and memories and emotions. They are kind of stored. It's like a dam. It just becomes bigger and bigger with more and more pressure, and more parts of the body are in freeze. But as I'm coming out of that freeze, that dam of unprocessed emotions are going to come out. And that's why I feel it. I feel it on the way out as it passes through my system. And as we go layer and layer, there will be maybe more of the same thing coming. But we don't have endless of these experiences. So if we continue and take things a little bit at a time, so it's not too overwhelming, it will end. And also that we stop putting ourselves in situations that are stressful and harmful to us. And by learning how to navigate and deal with situations that happens, you know, because life is an experience. We're here to kind of learn how to sail the ocean of life. And it is rain sometimes, there is storm, there is thunder. You know, there's just no way out of that. And that's the whole point. So it's like dealing with, like making up with the past. That is what that means. I need to deal with the things that happened to me that I wasn't able to deal with. And I need to do that now because I'm an adult and I can understand that strong emotions are not dangerous. It's only an emotion. So it's like reparenting oneself, you know, and that's like the inner child work and all of that. So it's all connected to helping the body to process what it was, what it once went through. And maybe there was a lot of once went through, and that's what we need to do. And that's the layers. And for me, when I work with this, I use a whole arsenal of tools and practices and things like that. And it's an ongoing process.
Yeah. But the good news is that there is a way out.
Yeah, definitely.
We've got Morpheus over here who can pull you out of the freaking zone. And yeah, so I think it would be good just to share a little bit about like what are the tools and modalities and ways that we help people work through the freeze, having experienced it our own selves. For me, the biggest turning point has been through the TRE. And, you know, it's one of those things that continually goes deeper. Sometimes people ask us this question in TRE. They're like, what happens after I shake out all of my trauma? Like, you know, there's this idea that the trauma or the tension is stored in the body, and then you shake it all out and then you're done. But like Simba mentioned earlier, with the small T traumas, they kind of tend to just happen all day, every day. There's a little bit of stressor, something happens, and it may not be a big thing, but it adds up in your body over time. And TRE is a great way to just keep a regulation. So even if you've resolved quite a bit of the big T trauma in your body, the little T trauma still accumulates, and TRE is a fantastic way to let it out and also to bring total nervous system regulation. So maybe Simba can share more about our upcoming opportunities to work with TRE.
Definitely. I just like what you said, and I like that question. That question is very good. What happens if I shake all the traumas out? Yeah. Why would you want to do that? Or what is it you want to do instead? So that comes from Blue Zone, right? I want to get this done so I can do this, because I can't feel this. This is this disturbing me from. So that's, well, it's back in the loop again, you could say, basically. So what we do in TRE is we have a few different steps that we work with it. We have a module one, which is a 2-day training, which is a weekend, a Saturday and a Sunday. We really get an immersion into what it is, similar to this podcast, but it's more hours. And your body really goes into a state of having new experiences in the nervous system. You learn the theory, you get to practice it. You actually learn how to go down a few levels and have a new reference point. And that's what it's all about. You get a new reference point, you know, I can feel like this. And then with the tool, of course, which initiates the natural tremors in the body, you can continue to go deeper into this practice. So the level, or the module one, is the first level or first step. And you can do that standalone. And we also have a 1-year program where you can become a TRE provider, where you work learning how to work with people online, in one-on-one settings, in group settings. And it's a little bit more comprehensive, the program, but it's a big personal journey. And that starts in October. And between now and October, we're going to have 2 module ones. And they are, we're going to announce the dates and everything in a little bit. But they're a wonderful opportunity that doesn't take anything away from you. If you do strength training, if you do yoga, if you do nothing, you know, it's still good practice to have. And I think the main thing with TRE is that you don't have to go into the story. I don't have to go in and share all of these traumatic events or have to think about them. I go in and I let my body deal with it. I hold space for my body. I hold space for that 14-year-old part or 13-year-old part. And my body will release all of the stress and tension, which allows you to, like you said, Mark, go through the red zone and connect more to yourself.
Yeah, because the beauty of TRE is that it's a natural built-in tremoring mechanism that is originally designed from the body to prevent the body to go into to freeze. So when a traumatic experience happens, if you've ever seen children or also pets, many people have dogs, and you can see that they get very frightened when there's thunder or loud noises or fireworks. And then they start to go into this tremoring. And that is to prevent, so the body of the dog is going through a traumatic experience, but the body is using its natural tremoring mechanisms to prevent the body to go into freeze. And also after the event is finished, then the body can continue to tremor a little bit. And that is to prevent the body, the tissue, to go into freeze. And this mechanism we have in the humans have this too, but it's very, very suppressed. And as Simba said, that trauma is stored in the brainstem, and the tremoring mechanism also comes from the brainstem. So TRE is, instead of activating the tremoring mechanism from a state of trauma, it's activating the tremoring mechanism from a place of safety and groundedness. So there's these number of exercises that in a safe environment activates the tremoring mechanism, so the body can go back and open up the body again. So even if the whole body is in freeze, it's like you activate this tremor mechanism from deep inside. So the body starts to come back alive from the inside in a natural way. And as you said, then the body does, you don't need to talk about what happened. You don't need to relive the whatever happened. It's just a natural way for the body to come out of freeze. And then you can see in the body that if you're doing TRE with a trained provider and very good provider, then that the provider can see where in the body that there is blockages. The body is trying to open up certain parts, but it can't, and it tries to work around, and it tries to, because it's also stored in the fascia. So you can see that there's, that the body is trying different ways, and you can see that the tremors are different in different areas. So when you work, so for instance, I've been doing longer TRE sessions with the both of you, and Simba, as he is such an amazing body worker, he can very easily see where the body is, where it can't work through. And then you use very deep and many, many different kinds of interventions that is highly in tune with the organism and where the person is at and where what they've been through. And you can navigate that in such a beautiful, beautiful way and start to help the body to come out of freeze. And what happens when we come out of freeze, we process whatever was going on, but then the body opens up and we come back to connection, to playfulness, to happiness, to motivation, to creativity, all of these sensations and the joy that is accessible to us, but is hidden under the freeze. It's like the imprints of life, and the TRE kind of opens up that from the inside and helps the body come out of freeze. And that's the absolute magical power of TRE. I have to tell you, it's absolutely fantastic. I do it almost every night for myself, and I connect it with the Kundalini energetics, and I open up the spine, and for me it's all about the spine. So it's a beautiful tool that you can connect with a lot of other modalities. And that's also what we're doing. And in November, we have a special kind of retreat only for TRE, where Simba will teach all of these interventions and the connection with the different modalities. And so we're inviting practitioners and certification trainers and people who are a little bit experienced in the TRE to learn these interventions and also to experience it by yourself. So we have 3 weeks open for those retreats, and it's a 1 week at a time. So 4 slots, 1 week, 3 weeks opportunities. So there's 12 people that can come and experience this for themselves. And that's why for me, the TRE is one of the, I mean, there's so many things you can use and work with to come out of the freeze, but the TRE is absolutely the most powerful one, I would say, because it's such a, it goes so deep and it comes from the inside.
A great explanation of TRE, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's really, like you said also, Mark, it's a wonderful tool when it comes to coming out of freeze. And like you said too, Sarah, it really reignites the spine. And from the spine, you know, that's really the information mecca that goes to all of your body. You know, that's really the link that brings everything together.
Yeah.
So it is a way of coming back into your body without having to think your way in it. You go into your body and allow your body to come back to life, essentially.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, you know. allowing the body to come back online, and the connection to the self, and you know, the everything that you want comes through the body. It's the intuition, it's the success, it's all of it, because it's all a nervous system response. All your belief systems and what you believe that you can or cannot do for yourself, it's all in the nervous system. I mean, when I'm doing business coaching, what I learned from my business coach and her, you know, it's that it's all, she's super clear. It's if you want success, you need to be able to hold it in the nervous system. And then it's connected to generational imprints and, you know, family imprints and what we're taught about ourselves, what to believe about ourselves, what we're worth. All of that is stored in the nervous system. So that's why, you know, working with business and success, it's a nervous system thing also. You need the business structure and the business mastery and how to set that up. But if you can't hold it in the nervous system, then it's impossible. And you know, coming out as an entrepreneur and launching my own brand and working with a lot of people in that industry, we know that there's this, you post for a couple of weeks and then something happens and you just want to go in hiding. Nervous system response. You go into freeze. So it's all connected to the body. It's all connected to the nervous system. And that's why the TRE provider program is so powerful, because it's almost a year long that you are going into the modality, and you're doing so much TRE for yourself in a safe and grounded environment that is overseen, and you're guided, and you're learning, and you're studying, and it's the books that you read, and you get to practice with other people. And then all of a sudden, in only 1 year time, you change your, it's like you change your outlook, and then you navigate the world from a nervous system perspective, which makes you a better parent, a better coworker, a better business owner, you know, in your career, a better friend, you're better in the family, and whatever what we see in all of the people who are going deep in the nervous system is all their family dynamics are changing. Just because one person is doing the work. It's incredible. So for me, I did the TRE provider training for myself. I don't even work really with TRE with my clients. I do, but I don't. That's not my first thing. I'm not a somatic practitioner, but I did it to change my own life. And that's what I think is so powerful, because with the TRE program, then you just happen to get one of the most powerful tools at the end. It's almost as a bonus, because the first thing was the transformation in yourself. And that's why I feel it's just so, yeah, it's absolutely the main key that I use it all the time to support my body out of freeze. It's super cool. All right. Is that it for today?
We are defrosted.
Defrosted. All right, if you have any questions or follow-up questions or thoughts or insights or anything about this, because this is a deep topic, please let us know. If you want to work with us to help your body to come out of freeze, there's a number of different ways to do that. You can work with both Simba and Mark in different setups. So the easiest thing is to reach out to us, and we will set up a consultation, and we will talk about your situation, and we will recommend whatever is best for you. We have longer term mentorship programs where it's all about the nervous system. That is one of the deeper ways of working with us. Or you can come for a retreat, or there's other ways to work with us as well. So reaching out and just sharing a little bit about your situation and what you're looking for, then it's easy for us to set you up with what's most appropriate. And it's the last year of retreats, folks. So there's just a number of slots left. There's one or two slots in July. I think there's two or three slots in August. There's four slots in September. And then we're almost done. And then there's there's one slot in October. And then there's the TRE, the special ones in November. But that's it. That's all we got. So yeah, tune in livingwiththespirit.com or reach out to us on any social media and we will be happy to respond. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. All right. Lots of love, everyone.
Lots of love. Happy Ciao. Friday.
Happy Friday. 'Thank you so much for tuning in, and please send us a DM for any questions, inquiries, or consultations. Please follow us on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on LinkedIn, and please visit our website, livingwiththespirit.com, to read more about us and what we do, and remember, freedom and purpose is your birthright. Lots of love.